Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to my podcast. The next few couple of episodes are kind of going to be different from how we started and what you're used to. And that's because I've been doing a lot of, you know, self-reflection. I've been doing a lot of thinking, you know, and as we're marking the end of the year and the end of the decade, I just thought of, you know, like having these conversations. And so I decided to title this 18 conversations to talk about, you know, like 18 things I've learned in 18 years. And I decided to call it conversations and not things I've learned, because they're conversations that I wish I had, you know. I wish someone would have, you know, sat me down and, you know, talked to me about stuff. But, you know, there are things that, you know, you just have to learn from experience and learn as you go. So, excuse me. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, how we're gonna go. And so this one, like you can tell by the title, we're talking about failure, you know, and career-wise, you know, when I was growing up, I never really had an issue with what I wanted to become. I mean, like, I never really felt like, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life after secondary school, or like getting to SS1 and then you have to pick, oh, are you going to be in the science class? Are you going to be in the arts class? Are you going to be a commercial student? You know, all of that. I always kind of knew what I wanted. And I know that, like, with most kids, you know, as you grow, it kind of changes. You know, there's a time where everyone wants to be a pilot, or he wants to be a superhero, or, you know, those type of things. I mean, there was a time where I wanted to be a pilot. I mean, I never wanted to be a doctor. But, you know, it changed. And as I grew, I just, like, okay, I knew that, okay, this is kind of where I have my eyes on. I want to be an engineer. So for some time it was shifting. There was like a circle. It was like, okay, I could be an aerospace or an aeronautic engineer, or I could be a mechanical engineer, I could be an automotive engineer. But I just knew that that was what I wanted to do, right? And so that was really like never the issue for me. So I just, you know, kind of had my eyes where I was headed. And I had, you know, As I kind of grew, and I was like, when I was younger, I just thought, oh, this is what I wanted to do. And then as I got older and I started figuring things out, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do, and this is where I want to do it. So I had already mapped out my head in my life. I was like, you know, I'm going to get a good work result, apply to Ivy League universities, top universities in America, get a full ride scholarship, graduate first class, back some, you know, major job or internship or whatever, and that would just be like part of my success story. But for starters, it didn't happen that way. I mean, my WIAC result didn't reflect who I was or where I wanted to be, and it was one of those things that I was like really, really ashamed of for a while, because leading up to that moment, prior to me having my final exams in SS3, I was a smart student in school, you know. There were times when I was at the top of my class, and there were times that I was like the top 10% or the top 15%, however you want to look at it. And so I never really had an issue with school. There were times when I, you know, I failed tests, failed exams, but I never really failed to a point where it was like I was demoted, or where it was like one of those things that like it was just so evident, you know. And that was how my WIAC was. And it was like, okay, I had made a certain decision, and you know, I had studied and everything like that. WIAC was hard because it's like a lot of things that they're asking you about, and it's not just like, and you just can't know everything. And because I'm a science student, I had my physics, my chemistry. I didn't take biology. I had technical drawing, further maths, you know, all those like really, really hard and demanding subjects. But I mean, I'm not like giving an excuse or anything like that, because I know that people do it. But still, my work result wasn't where I wanted to be, where I wanted it to be. And so I was ashamed about it. And you know how the hype is like, you know, after work, everyone's kind of like, oh, what did you get? How many A's? How many this? How many that? And I didn't want to talk about it. And so I don't even know how I avoided the question. But I did, because like I had a lot of friends, and you know, principal wants to know, matron wants to know, your staff, everybody wants to know, basically your mom's friends, you know, people that you don't even, you know, really vibe with. Everybody wants to know that period, what was your, how many A's did you get, what was your WAEC result like. And so by that time, you know, kind of it came and went. My GM result wasn't too good, it wasn't too bad, it was okay. I got like a 255, but it didn't really matter because I already had my eyes somewhere, and it was like, I want to go to America, I want to study this. And so it's like, jam result, don't care, that type of thing. And so that was that. But leading up to when I decided that I wanted to go to school in America, I was like, maybe I was in SS1 or SS, probably like just 3 SS1. That was kind of when I was like, okay, figuring things out. I knew that I needed to take the SAT, and I even took the first time I took the SAT was before my first my work in SS3. So I took SAT in March of SS2. Yeah, so that was like 2014. I don't know, it was like a few years ago, like three, okay, this is 2019, so about a few years ago basically. And so I took my SAT in March, and I thought I was going to do amazing, you know, because I obviously aced math and English. SAT is based off of math and English. I aced math and English in school, and so I was like, I thought I was going to do amazing, but I didn't. Basically, reality check, like my grades came out, I was like, rain check, I was like, okay, I didn't do well, I didn't pass. And I was like, I probably cried a little bit, I was angry, I was pissed and everything like that. But I kind of knew, because when I had gotten into the exam hall, it wasn't like, there were things that, once I saw my exam, obviously, it was different from what I was expecting it to be. And I obviously wasn't as prepared as I thought I was. I thought I would go there and see the same thing they're teaching me in school, but it was the same, but it was different. And so, yeah, that happened. So basically, I took the SAT 5 times. And now, looking back, I probably shouldn't have. Well, it depends on how you look at it, but like, it was over a period of 2 years. I first took it when I was in SS2, and then the last time I took it was after I had graduated from secondary school. This was the year after I had graduated, because I took a gap year after secondary school. And so, honestly, I don't really like, I discredit or I discount the first time I took it in SS2, because I wasn't necessarily prepared, and I mean, that result was just very whack. So I don't credit it. And then the next time I took it was in, I think it was in October of that year, or the, yeah, it was October of that year. Yeah, I took it again October of that year. I did a little better, but not good enough. And it was like, okay, what's going on? I was like, okay, you know what? You're in SS2 now. WAEC is coming, your final exams are coming. You should kind of like shift priorities and just kind of focus on school right now and get things done, and maybe like by the time you're done with all of that, you can come back, clear your head, and you know, ace this exam, because I felt that I could. I mean, and one of the things that like this whole experience really taught me is that like when you're not used to failing, particularly something that is so important, it takes you by surprise. And when it happens consecutive, when it happens for the second and the third time, and the third time being worse than the second, it really does a number on you. And that was like, you know, one of the things that really, really resonated with me at that point. And like, even till now, it's one thing to be affected by your failure. It's another thing when it affects other people too. You know, time and resources were spent and the end result didn't look like what it was supposed to, you know, look like. And I'm not saying that, oh, I took SAT 5 times because it was like beans or because I could just, you know, like take. SAT was important. It was expensive. It was time consuming, you know, and honestly, by the third time I took it, which was, I think, after I had taken my WAEC, and, you know, I had gotten, because, like, every time I took it, I'd always, like, gone for, like, some preparatory lessons before that. I didn't just want to, like, just go based off of what I knew. I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was taking lessons. I wasn't doing it by myself, basically, until I'd gone to this advising center. It wasn't like they had teachers there or anything like that, but, you know, they had advisors, they had, you know, lab, they had a lab, they had a library, they had some resources. And so I was going there, you know, learning and, you know, practicing and stuff. And so I took the SAT and my result was worse than what it was when I used to go to a different, like, place. And that point, that period was very hard for me. Was very, very hard. Like, I didn't even want to take the SAT, like, after that time again. Like, I was stressed out. I was really, really stressed out because the excitement and the anticipation of a positive outcome, like, just turning into a nightmare is not something you're looking forward to. And because I had that feeling before, the first 2 times that I took it, I didn't know how to react, you know. It's like, you sometimes with tests and with exams, you study, you do your very best, you think that you did okay, and then your results are out, and it just makes you look stupid, because when you took the exam and you were feeling good about it, and your result, it doesn't reflect, it doesn't show the same thing. And after my third attempt, I didn't want to have that conversation. I removed myself from places where, you know, I had all my peers that took the test with me. The advising center I used to go to that was helping me with my application and everything like that, I didn't want to go there. Like, for over a month, I dealt with it. And I dealt with it internally. I had people that were asking questions, you know. Some of my cousins that studied abroad, that had done this process before, I felt like everybody was asking questions, you know, like, what were your results like? What did it look like? Your mom, your cousins, your advisors, your tutors, friends, everything. Everybody was asking questions. And I didn't want to have that conversation. I removed myself from places. I felt like I owed everyone and I didn't deliver. And, you know, In that moment, my dreams, my plans, like, everything, being a pioneer of some sort, like, everything that I had wanted to achieve, everything felt so far-fetched. It was just like something of my imagination, something that wasn't going to be possible. And it's one of those things where you're like, oh, I just want to, like, study abroad and, like, just get a good degree and, like, just do this and, like, just have something for myself, basically. But it was different because it was something that I had looked forward to for a long time. It was something that, I mean, my principal knew, my friends knew, it was something that everyone had known, that, oh, Ruth wants to do this. And when that wasn't happening, that was hard, that was painful, that was difficult. And what even made it so much harder was because I took a gap year, so I wasn't in school anymore. My friends, my best friend, like, everyone that I knew and everyone that I could really, really talk to, everyone was busy with their own life, handling everything that was going on. Like, I felt alone. And, you know, I mean, my parents were obviously there, my siblings were off in school, but I didn't really have that type of closeness or, like, relationship where I just, with my parents, that I would just, like talk to them about certain things. And it wasn't because there was anything that was wrong, but it was because I went to a boarding school, so, you know, I had been around these people all along, all the time. And so it was like, these are the people you would want to talk to about certain situations, and now you're dealing with stuff and there's no one that can relate to it, and you're, you know, you're basically by yourself. And so it was hard, it was painful, it was difficult. And one thing that even made it worse was how my dad reacted. And it wasn't like he was blaming me or anything like that, but it was just like, he was just like, you know what, okay, this is not going to happen, just like, you know, take JAMB or I don't know, apply to a Nigerian university and you go to a Nigerian university next year or anything like that. Or he was just like really, really going off. He was trying to be realistic. I understand that now. But I didn't want to hear whatever it is he was saying. I was just pissed. I just wanted to leave the house. But I couldn't. But my mom was there. She understood. And she was just present, basically. I was able to get out of that dark space. Like, I honestly, I can't tell you 100% like how it happened, because I obviously can't remember. A lot of things are just like just went by quickly. But I was able to, you know, talk myself out of certain things. You know, I prayed, I did a lot of self-reflection, you know, I just kind of changed my attitude about everything. And my mom talked me into taking the exam again. That was in December, and I was open to it. I was receptive to it. It was one of those things that like really got me thinking, because like this exam was expensive. The lessons I was taking, it was like expensive, and she kept wanting me to do it because she knew that it was something that was important to me, and she didn't want to be that person that just let that dream die. And it's one of those things that looking back, I probably have never told her about, but it's something that looking back, I'm like, you know, really like grateful for and everything. And so I went back to the advising center, you know, I went to a different place, I started taking lessons, and some of my friends that were at the advising center were also taking lessons with me. And I just realized, I remember the first time I joked about me taking the SAT three times prior, I remember how comfortable that felt. I remember how I just forgot about everything prior to that year. Like prior to that, not that year, prior to that period, like I forgot about everything. I just like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to be in the moment. I'm just going to learn what I need to learn and just forget about how, you know, I struggled to get to the point that I wanted to. And so I took the exam. I did pretty good. My score was definitely it moved up quite a bit. And I was happy in a way. But then I told you guys that I wanted to go to an Ivy League university. And so the SAT is over 1600. And typically Ivy League universities are like just like top, generally top schools in America. Basically, they're like looking for, you know, scores in like the 1400s, maybe a 1370. Yeah. And so my score wasn't there yet, and so I was like, you know, I still had my mind on going to an Ivy League, because, you know, I want to study aerospace engineering, and so automotive engineering, I can't remember what it was at that time, because I was like either or basically. And then I took the SAT again, and this time it was different. It was different, and I went back to the same place I took my lessons at. And you know, I was really, really glad that I even got to meet who it is I'm talking about, the owner of the place, because she was, you know, we had just kind of spoken and everything. She understood my struggle. She understood like where I was coming from and everything. And she offered to let me take lessons there for free. And it's like one of those things I'm super, super grateful for. You know, because it was just me at the time. All my friends, you know, had gotten their scores and they had gone on with the application process. I was still trying to get the score that it was that I wanted. And so I was just there. It was just me and the teachers. I really, really like practiced and studied and, you know, and did everything. And I got the score that I wanted. I basically, to me, I aced the SAT. But as I think about it now and I try to remember how I felt, I realized that like how I felt the first time I took the SAT and how I felt the last time I took the SAT was different. I mean, obviously it would be different because I passed, but when I passed, I was happy, but I was different because I wasn't just looking at it like, oh, you passed the SAT. I was looking at it from my 2-year experience. I was looking at it from the journey. I was looking at, it made me look at the grading system. It made me think about a whole lot of things that I probably wouldn't have if I had. I know that if I had passed the first time I took the SAT, I would have missed out on a great teaching moment. And I really can't, like, I didn't go into detail about how the whole journey was for me, but I learned a whole lot, like, about myself, about, like, life, about situations. I learned a whole lot, basically, and that was, like, one of those, like, really, really rough times in my life. I told you guys how, like, my dad's approach to it was very, it wasn't something that I wanted to hear, basically, and that was, like, one of the times when our relationship was, like, kind of, that was probably when it was the rockiest. That was when it was the rockiest. But you know, it was a whole lot for me. And one of the greatest lessons it taught me is that like sometimes in my experience, sometimes falling and getting up, and each fall doing more damage, causing you more injury than the previous time. While everyone, like, is ahead of you, everyone keeps running, and then you're the only one who's falling. It really does a lot to you, and it does a lot of good things and bad things to you. I'm not trying to make it seem like, you know, it's just the bad. But that being said, everyone thinks that when you fail, it's always your fault, but I don't think so. Personally, I don't think so. I don't think that I was any smarter when I took the SAT the fifth time than I took it the first time. I did a lot of things. Definitely, obviously, like, you have to be realistic. There were things that I did the fifth time to pass that I didn't do the first time. But what I mean is that sometimes failure needs to happen. Sometimes failure happens because it needs to. You know, sometimes you really do need that teaching moment. Sometimes we get so good and we forget how to make mistakes. And failure is like that big sister that sits you down and tells you, calm down, you're doing too much. You know, because I didn't have that experience prior to that. I was always an A student in school, and if I didn't, I probably, something would have happened along the line, you know. And so it's not that there's anything wrong with, you know, like, wanting the best or, you know, acing or passing, but it just taught me that sometimes maybe the best doesn't want you. It may not just even want you at all, or it may not want you in that time, or you're looking in the wrong place. There's just a lot of things to consider. There's just a lot of things to look at. And honestly, that whole incident, it really shaped my character. It made me realize a lot of things. Overall, it taught me that things wouldn't go as planned. Sometimes you could plan your life. You could say, I had told myself that, oh, you're going to graduate with, I mean, I didn't really care about my work at the time, but I just told myself that, oh, you're going to graduate from secondary school. You're going to get admitted into an Ivy League college. You're going to get a full ride scholarship. You're going to graduate with first class. You're going to bag a major internship, job, whatever. And that would just be your success story. That's what I told myself. And that didn't happen. life does 360s all the time, and I learned that it's okay. There is nothing wrong with that. I feel like a lot of times we have an idea of what success should look like, or what your life, we like to plan in a way that takes out the fun and takes out the essence from it. And it just taught me that, you know, it really is okay. And moving forward, I told myself that whenever you fall, whenever, you know, things like that happen, whenever life doesn't go as planned, I don't beat myself up. I let myself wallow. I let myself think about it for a little bit. But I tell myself I'm going to do it for this amount of time. After that, I need to get over it. I need to regroup. I need to pick it up, because I just can't sit there and just be in that moment and not doing anything. And, you know, it's really, really ironic how I'm not in an Ivy League university or in a university, even though I got the score that I wanted. And it's like, but that's another story. And I'll definitely tell you guys in session two. I'll tell you guys what happened in session two. But that's really it. That's really it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'd like to know what your experience have been with failures, or what your experiences are. If you're going through it right now, if you're going through a drag, if you just feel like you're stuck, you're stagnant, you're in one place and you feel like you're not moving, you know, I'd like to know what your experiences are. My DMs are open, my comment section is open, my email is open. My email is at nearest corner, so nyerecorner@gmail.com. My Instagram is at nearest corner, so it's the same name. So nearestcorner@gmail.com, nearest corner on Instagram. And my personal account is Bynyere, BYNYERE. And so if you want to share, if you want anything, comments, complaints, whatever, you want to hit me up, go ahead and do so. I'll be back soon. We need to continue this conversation at session two. What happened after? Why didn't I go to any of the schools that I wanted to go? If you have any questions that you just want me to answer, like, beforehand, just let me know. And so I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you have a good rest of your week. I will see you soon. Bye-bye.